In independent step-by-steps, the callback circuit was always an interesting device to play with because it often made forms of phone phreaking possible. This tape begins with a regular phone trip to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and then after about 5 minutes, begins to concentrate on what could be done with the callback circuit, first in Gettysburg, and then in other places. So let's start with the recording made in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania in August 1976. This was a part of Dave and my phone trip at the time. This office, along with New Oxford, Pennsylvania, where we stopped in next, has semi-DTF, semi-dial tone first. That means you pick up the phone, you get a dial tone, but then you have to deposit a dime before you can actually dial anything. Getting a dial tone first only tells you that there is a phone line that has a dial tone. You can't dial operator or emergency. Every office called on this tape is STEP, and STEP includes Stromberg XY, which some of these may be. This is not a good tape to try to tell the two apart because of the way the coin control equipment obscures the sound of the selectors. First, let's pick up the phone, put in a dime, and call a vacant level in Gettysburg itself.
I'm sorry, we are unable to complete your call as dialed. Please check the number and dial again or ask your operator for assistance. This is a recording. 717-334. I'm sorry, we are unable to complete your call as dialed. Please check the number and dial again or...
Code here for directory assistance. It's 23, now I'll dial it.
One heck of a noisy coin return there. 2-3 is directory assistance. Looks like 2-4 is repair. Here's a call to that.
Telephone repair.
There are a couple of offices in the local calling area. One of them is 677, which is Biglerville. Here are three calls to that. Fairfield is another place that's local.
We're sorry, the number you have reached is not in service at this time. If you need assistance, please hang up and dial your operator. This is a recording, 717-642. sorry.
Got an answer there, and seems like it did not collect my dime from listening to the tape. Sounds like I'm reaching right into the coin slot and pulling the dime out again. So maybe there was a little supervision grace. I know the NX1 in New Oxford had no supervision grace at all for local calls, so if anything went off hook, you lost your dime right away. Now, to address the problem of possibly losing the dime, I decided to employ the callback circuit. The code here is 20, and the normal way for using it is to dial 20 followed by the telephone number of the person on your party line that you want to call. Now, when you dial 20, you're connected to the callback circuit and to a fresh originating switching train. It doesn't give you a dial tone, but you can dial intra-office calls into that switching train. As you dial the 7-digit number, the call proceeds normally until you get to the last digit, which the callback circuit stores rather than repeating. It then puts on a busy signal tone telling you to hang up. Here's what it sounds like to dial the callback code plus your own number and get the busy signal. Now, the busy signal I got when I dialed the last digit of my number isn't a real busy signal. It's the same tone as a real busy signal, but this busy signal is coming from the callback circuit itself. The circuit actually superimposes that over the connection, and all that is a signal to the customer to hang up and allow the call to come back, ringing either his phone or the phone of the other party on his party line. When you do hang up at this point, the circuit dials out that last digit which it stored and calls you back. Now, from this payphone in Gettysburg, the coin return holds the phone line busy for an extra second or so, preventing the call from coming in, so you can't use it to ring your own phone calling from a payphone here. But if you listen to the Washington, North Carolina tape, you can hear the callback circuit operating normally there. On the Washington, North Carolina tape, one thing I demonstrated was dialing a local call by way of the callback circuit through using the technique of eliminating a few of the absorbed digits that don't have to be dialed. Now, here in Gettysburg, the prefix is 334. If I dial 20 to get into the callback circuit, and then only the last 5 digits of the phone number, it will begin to ring, and will be listening to the ring by way of the callback circuit. Now, in Washington, North Carolina, as soon as that call answers, kaplik, it's gone. But here, it might work. So let's see what happens in 1976 from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, when you dial 20 for the callback circuit plus the last 5 digits of the time number.
Gettysburg National Bank is as near as your mailbox, and it saves you time.
Time 5, 37.
Temperature 84 degrees.
The time announcer is Don Elliott, one of the voices of Autochron.
This is radio station WWB, Fort Collins, Colorado.
There he is in the 1970s on the government time station. Let's replay the end of that last call, especially listening to the sound the tape captured as I hung up the phone at the end.
The Gettysburg National Bank is as near as your mailbox, and it saves you time.
Time 5, 37.
Temperature 84 degrees.
Wow. Well, from that, it appears the callback circuit is as near as dialing 2-0, and it saves you dime.
You'll be glad you did.
Let's do the same thing again, but I'll dial three more digits to get the callback circuit to superimpose its busy signal.
Gettysburg National Bank is as near as your mailbox, and it saves you time.
Time 5, 38.
Temperature 84 degrees.
Finally, here's a local call. Through the callback circuit, again, I'll dial the code for the callback, 20, the last four digits of the number. And then once the conversation begins, I'll dial more digits to get it to superimpose the busy.
Can you tell me how late you're open today?
9 o'clock.
Till 9?
Yeah.
Was that 9 you said?
9.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a great demonstration of what could be done with the callback circuit in some places. By contrast, Carolina Telephone in eastern North Carolina made callback circuits immune from that sort of abuse, but there were still some places where you could use it to get through to the toll trunk. In fact, there was another stop on Dave and my phone trip where we used a callback circuit to get into the toll trunk. This is kind of a unique way to make a call. Let me get the Luray, Virginia tape, and this is very brief. Basically, what happens here is that we pick up the phone and dial a two-digit code to get into the callback circuit. Then we dial a 1, which the callback circuit does allow. The callback circuit is only going to let you dial 5 rotary dial digits after that 1. And so you can't actually dial 1 plus a phone number through the callback circuit and have it work. However, once we've dialed the callback circuit code and then 1, we're connected to a trunk to the long-distance tandem in Leesburg, which is 2600 controlled. It is possible to control that trunk without the callback circuit keeping track, because the callback circuit is only paying attention to the DC pulses from the dial. If you send a burst of 2600, the callback circuit does not see that, but the Leesburg trunk does. And therefore, we can have Dave whistle some of the digits, which the callback circuit would not allow us to dial. And so just to show how this works, I'm going to call a non-working number in New York City that happens to have a lot of ones in it. Now I'm going to dial digits like 2 and 6, but every time we need a 1, Dave's going to go, and that will register in Leesburg, but not in the callback circuit, which is only giving us 5 digits. But Leesburg will see an actual phone number, and we'll put the call through.
Please? 743-5039.
Thank you.
Hello, operator, is this, what city have I reached?
Pardon me?
What city have I reached?
New York City.
New York City? You can't call New York City from a payphone in Luray, Virginia in 1976. Well, of course we could. However, this technique by itself we didn't consider useful for completing actual normal phone calls, because while it was fine for calling an intercept operator in New York or some other call that would have been free anyway, to dial a regular number this way and have it answer would have created a toll record billing it to somebody. And that was a phone freak no-no, at least in the original group. It caused problems at the phone company, and then security had to investigate it, and experience actually showed that people like Tom Duffy were more upset at the freaks who were causing him trouble like that than the ones who were making free calls in ways that didn't leave traces. So using this technique alone for anything other than experimental non-completed calls was out. However, you could use this technique if you wanted to call the New York AIS, another non-completing call that would be free anyway, and superimpose a busy signal from Luray, Virginia on top of it.
The number you have reached, AUY-OOO, has been reached.
Now, here's a brief tape I made in South Hill, Virginia, in April 1975. In South Hill, I made an unusual discovery. On a two-digit code, there was an FX line which gave a dial tone from nearby La Crosse, Virginia. You'll hear two dial tones on this tape. The ordinary-sounding dial tone is the one from South Hill that we're calling from. The La Crosse dial tone is kind of off-frequency. And that's the FX line, which I was able to reset by flashing my hook.
Following is a tape of dialing from 804-447. Unfortunately, due to lack of time and AE earpieces, it was impossible to make a complete tape of this system. However, I am able to demonstrate a local tie line out to one of the tributary offices, 757. It's supervised, so I had to put in a dime for the sake of hearing what I was doing with it. It was resettable, however, and I have a tape of dialing my own 447 number through it, dialing the operator, and making a chemical.
Operator, what exchange am I coming in from?
757.
Thank you.
Fortunately for whoever's number that was, directory assistance in other area codes was free at that time. And yes, this had to be recorded with a microphone because the phones in that area were Automatic Electric, that's GTE's manufacturing arm, and those phones didn't produce any electromagnetic leakage for my pickup coil to pick up. Thus, I had to hold a microphone up to the earpiece, Mark Brené style.
Another interesting thing there was that occasionally you can reach the operator through the callback circuit. This, of course, is the independent type of callback circuit that actually calls you back rather than holds you up and rings. So, here's dialing first 0 normally, and note the class of service tone. Operator. Now reaching the operator by dialing 0 into the callback circuit. And there'll be no class of service tone. She can't hold me up. And by dialing a total of 7 digits into the callback circuit, I can superimpose a busy signal over the call. The code is 22.
If I had it to do all again, I would be a lot more kind to the operators. Somehow, when we were teenagers, it never occurred to us that while we could just hang up the phones and walk away when we were through playing, the operators pretty much had to stay at their positions no matter how long we would mess with them. And I really do regret that we messed with operators as much as we did. Now, of course, I was trying to think of a funny ending to this presentation where I get my comeuppance for what I just did there back in 75. And I actually could not think of a funny ending, so we'll go with the insipid one, where... Hang on, the power just went out. But I see my UPS has kicked in, so we are good to go. Anyway, as I was... well, now the power has come back on. This is obviously my alarm clock.
Are you making a long-distance call?
And obviously this is not the least bit funny, so...
What were you doing?
I'm dying out here, that's what I'm doing. Anyway, thanks for listening. God damn it.